Today's Shiur is Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, the new parak Reishis Hageis. The Darak Doisha teaches us that when we shear the wool of a lamb, we have to give the Kohen, as we will learn in our Mishnah, a certain amount of that wool. And as the Miri says in his introductory remarks to this parak. This parak really has very little to do with what we're learning about in Masech Techulin. But since we learned in the previous parak, the halachas is royal chayim v'keva, which are matnas kahuna, our parak continues to discuss the halachas of matnas kahuna. Furthermore, the Miri says, we see how Kadosh Baruch Hu is concerned for the kohanim. And therefore, as we learned in the previous parak, this royal chayim v'keva given to the Kohanim, so they should have meat to eat. We know that the Kohanim are given truma, so they should have produce, grain to eat. And they're given reishis hageis, so they should have wool to make clothing. As we discussed at the beginning of the previous parak, there's a question if reishis hageis applies in chutz laretz as well as it does in Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch says that there are two opinions. Says the minig is not that it doesn't apply in chutz laretz, although it does apply if the conditions that we learn in our parak are met, certainly in Eretz Yisrael. Again, there's a machlokes rishonim that we quoted already previously. If when one gives these matnas kuna, the reishis hageis, is a bracha said? That some rishonim say that a bracha is not said. One explanation they give is because when is a bracha said? Only when, like by truma, that if you eat the food, the teva, without taking off truma, we've learned it's a very serious avera. There is no avera if you use the wool without having done the reishis hageis. There's an avera, but that the wool may be used. Or as another explanation, by the reishis hageis, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah until the kohen actually accepts the wool from you, and he may not agree to take the wool from you, and it will be a bracha of atala. Interestingly, I saw that the paiskim that say that you do make a bracha by reishis hageis discuss what is the bracha. Is there a general bracha made on all matnas kahuna? That's one approach. Another approach is not that there's a general bracha made on all matnas kahuna, but the bracha is made specifically by every matnas kahuna, the matnas kuna that's giving. So when you're giving reishis hageis, the law says reishis hageis. Interestingly, I saw there was a minig that the reishis hageis wool that was used, that was given to the kohen, they would try to use to make tzitzis. Because if you did one mitzvah, you should have the opportunity to do another mitzvah with that wool. And as we begin the parak, it's important to point out what I saw, that certainly now, even in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly in Chutz Laretz, it's difficult for us to fulfill the mitzvah reishis hageis. We don't work with lambs, with cutting wool. But by learning the Masechta, and learning the halachas, and learning all the rules and the inyanim about reishis hageis, that's the way we fulfill the mitzvah reishis hageis with all the schusim that come along with it. So it says the Mishnah reishis hageis, Noig be'eretz b'chutz laretz applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. B'fnei abayis v'shleib b'nefnei abayis, both when the Beis Hamikdash is standing and not. B'chulin v'leib b'mikdashim. Only by chulin and not by animals that are hegdash, which we're going to spend a lot of time discussing in our shiur today. Continues the Mishnah, Chayim v'zroi v'lekeva v'reishis hageis. Zroi l'chayim v'keva have a chumr that doesn't apply to reishis hageis. Zroi l'chayim v'keva noig b'boika b'tzon. It applies to all types of behemoths, beruba mamuot, whether you have many animals or just one animal. Reishis hageis enin noig el brachelis, only applies by lambs. But as the mafarshim point out, males or female sheep are subject to reishis hageis. Goats don't have reishis hageis. And I saw a number of explanations why there is no reishis hageis by goats. One is because what grows on a goat is not wool, it's hair. And the halach is reishis hageis, which means wool. One pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that the reishis hageis is wool that's cut. Hair on a lamb on a goat is not cut, it's plucked. And that's not called cutting. And a third pshat that I saw, very much in line with what we said a few moments ago, that the purpose of giving the kohen the reishis hageiz is that he should make big day kahuna. Now wool was used for the big day kahuna. There was no goat material used for big day kahuna, and that's why there is no reishis hageiz from goats. Reishis hageiz, ena naheg, ela berecheles, ve'ena naheg al meruba. You have to have many animals to have a chiva reishis hageiz. Ask the Mishnah itself, v'kama hu meruba, what is considered many animals? Beishamay am shtei recheles. Beishamay says two lambs. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, yichya ish eglas bokav shtei tzayim. Pasuk speaks about the time where everybody will have a calf and two sheep. So we see shtei tzayim is considered a many sheep. Whereas it is the opinion of Beis Hillel chamish that you have to have five sheep in order to have the chiv of reishis hageiz. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, chamish tzayin asuyas. Rav Dais ben Hakina omer chamish v'keilus. Again, he agrees, as Beis Hillel said, you need to start with five lambs. Goyz zayis mana mana upras. If each one of them gives wool of a mana upras, which is about, I saw, 240 grams, chayavis bereishis hageiz. Then they have a chiva reishis hageiz. Cham hold, cham amrim, cham shuchayos kaisus kolshen. It doesn't make a difference how much wool is produced by each lamb. The common nice malay. So now that we have all these lambs and we have them producing wool, how much should we give him? Mishka chame slime be Yehuda, the white of chame slime be Yehuda, shen esa slime be gol, which the Mefarshim obviously explained that the currency, the weight of the currency in Yehuda was twice as heavy as the weight of the currency in Galil. So five slime in Yehuda, it took 10 slime to have that weight in Galil. Meluban, it has to be clean, v'loy tsoi, not dirty, k'delasis menu begged cotton, which the Mefarshim explained. We have to give him that much wool, so if we're going to give him wool that has in it all sorts of dirt in it, so that isn't Mishkel Chamish slime. It has to be Mishkel Chamish slime after the dirt has been removed. Shenema, what is the basis for these opinions? Because the Torah Kedoshu, when it says, speaks about, Cheshis Ageis Titan Loi, Shiebe Kedei Nesina. It has to be something that is given. Lahispek Litnoi Loi, continues the Mishnah, if the Kayan did not receive the Cheshis Ageis Achet Tzavoi, before the person died it, potter, then he has no chiv of reishis hageiz. So the way Rashi explains this halacha is that Rashi explains that, as we learned in the previous parak, that if somebody makes a shinui, makes a significant change to the item, he's kain it. It becomes his. So somebody dyed the wool, that is an act of shinui, and it becomes his, becomes the owner's, and he has no longer responsibility to give it to the Kayin. And Rashi and the Rishonim go on to explain, that doesn't the Kayin have a claim to the person that you owe me the Reishis Hageiz? So they quote the Gemara that we learned extensively in the previous parak, the opinion of Rav Chisda, where Rav Chisda said to us that if somebody damages the Matnas Kahuna, there is no claim from the Kohen to that person. In fact, the Rishonim ask a Gevaldige Kasha. If that's Pshat in this Mishnah, that it's all based on Rav Chisda's Vart, that if you damage it, there is no obligation. So now, why, when we learned Rav Chisda's Memra in the previous Perek, if you remember the word, the Gemara kept on challenging it, if it's all based on what a Mishnah says, I don't need Rav Chisda, it's our Mishnah. So they explain that over here it's not clear that it was damaged, because it's not considered that you're not mechuyev only after you dyed all of the wool. Whereas there, as soon as you did any zroya l'chaim v'keva, it's considered damaged. So I wouldn't know if chizda's din from there. That's why I have to learn it from here. That's one approach. Why tzavai, if somebody dyed the reishis hageiz, he's not obligated to give it. There's a simpler approach. I mean, first of all, what's the problem with Rashi's approach? The problem with Rashi's approach is that you're kind it with chinui. But to make a kinyan with chinui means there has to be an intent to be kainet. If you didn't intend to be kainet with shinui, then it doesn't become yours. Our Mishnah says a straight, absolute din. Tzavai, if you die, the reishis hageiz, you're not chayv to give it. But that really ought not to be the case. It should depend if you intended to be kainet. The Mishnah doesn't make any mention of that. And because of that question and other questions, other mafarshim explain the Mishnah in a simpler fashion. They explain that the Torah HaKadoshah, when it teaches us the zechiyah to give reishis hageiz, only obligates us to give reishis hageiz when it's clean, when it's not, when it's in its original color. When it's not an original color, there's a gzeiras hakasuv that isn't where the zechiyah of reishis hageiz. Furthermore, the mafarshim asked, the Rishonim already asked this question. We learned in the previous perek that even though Rav Chisda, and we're saying that our Mishnah actually is very connected to Rav Chisda, taught us that if somebody damaged Rashi's, the Zroel Chayv Akeva, the Kohen has no claim against him. We did learn in the previous perek that the Gemara said that let's say somebody had the Zroel Chayv Akeva that was taken by the government because he owed taxes. So, as the Gemara said, Mishtar Shilei, he profited from the fact that Zroel Chayv Akeva went to the government because now his tax bill has been settled. And we learned then that the halach is that he doesn't have to give the Zroel Chaim V'keva, that he has to replace it. So why here don't we say the same, that by him dyeing this wool, he gains, that he has now whatever colored wool that he needed, and therefore it's Mishtar Shalei, even according to Rav Chisda, he should have to replace it. So I saw two answers. One answer is that the concept of Mishtar Shalei is only in a case where somebody took it from you. In that case, as I just described, the government took the Zroel Chaim V'keva from him to pay his bill. Here, the Zroel Chaim V'keva wasn't taken from him to pay his bill. He used it himself. That isn't what Mishtar Shalei means. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a fundamental difference, and this is a very fundamental point, between Zroel Chaim V'keva and Reishis Hageiz. Really, between Reishis Hageiz and everything else. Everything else, Zroel Chaim V'keva, Truma certainly, as soon as you mafrish the Truma, or as soon as you take out the Zroel Chaim V'keva, it is not a Zroel Chaim V'keva that really belongs to the Kohen. So if now you profited from the Zroel Chaim V'keva by having your bill, by having your tax bill paid with it, you have to repay the Kohanim. The Reishis Hageiz is not considered the Kohen's until it actually is delivered to the Kohen. Just because you separated or you cut off Reishis Hageiz from the animal, it doesn't yet become the Kohen's. It only becomes the Kohen's when it's actually delivered to the Kohen. And if it ends up never being delivered to the Kohen, why? Because you took it and colored it yourself, dyed it yourself, there's no chiv of Reishis Hageiz. However, says the Mishnah, Liv Nei V'Lo Tzavai, you washed it, not dying, you're still chayiv to give Reishis Hageiz. And as the Rishonim explained, it certainly doesn't mean that you just washed it. Because certainly if you just washed it, you didn't really do anything significant. But even if you washed it with detergent, but you didn't dye it, you didn't color it, this thing that we just learned doesn't apply, and you're still chayiv in Reishis Hageiz. Says the Mishnah, Halakeh geiz tzoyne shalev kechavim, if somebody buys the wool of an animal of the Akum, potter Reishis Hageiz. He's potter from the Reishis Hageiz. Why? Because this is not considered, you know, you only bought the wool, the animal still remains the Akum's, so you potter. Halakeh geiz tzoyne shel chaveri, if you bought the wool from another Jew, so says the Mishnah, the halacha is as follows. Im shay ha-moicher chayiv, lo shay ha-loikeach chayiv. Which means, if I bought wool from you, from your animal, and I left some wool with you, you have to give the Reishis Hageiz. But if I bought all of the wool, now I become obligated the Reishis Hageiz. And the Gemara Mitzvashem, later in the Perek, gives a beautiful explanation to this thing. The Gemara explains that really every seller is anxious to do a mitzvah. Every Jew is anxious to do a mitzvah. So here we have an option. Should the buyer who bought, even if though he bought most of the wool, be obligated to give the Reishis Hageiz? Or does the seller, who was originally chayiv to give the Reishis Hageiz, because the wool was originally his, want to retain that mitzvah? And the Mishnah says, of course, he wants to retain the opportunity to do the mitzvah. That's why the seller does it, not the buyer. Says the Mishnah, Ha'il ha'shnei minim, if somebody had two types of animals, shchufas ulevenus, beige and white, mochel ha'shchenus of ulevenus, and he sold them the wolf and the beige ones and not from the white ones, zecharim from the males, v'lo in the cavus, but not from the females, then zenoysen la'atzmoy, the buyer should give the reshus hageis from the animals that he purchased, for zenoysen la'atzmoy, and the seller gives the reshus hageis from the animal that he kept. So the Mishnah said that if the animal is hegdish, there is no chiyuv of reshus hageis. Ask the Gemara, Mikdoshim Maitam Aloy, why is there no chiyuv of reshus hageis when the animal is hegdish? Amakra, tsoincha v'loy tsoin hegdish. Only your animal and not the animal of hegdish. Ask the Gemara, so what does the Gemara have taught us? Tam the kos rachmana tsoincha. Because the Torah Gedoshim teaches us the word tsoincha, so we know it's only yours. Her lav hachi, were I not to have this pasuk, have amina kachim chayovim bereishis hageis. There's a chiyuv of reishis hageis even by kachim. Ask the Gemara, halab b'nei gizaninu. But you're not allowed to cut the wool of kachim. Tiksiv, because the pasuk says v'loy sagus b'char tzayncha. So how can we have a have amina that we should give from the kachim? So the achroinim ask a gevaldik kasha. Maybe what the Torah is teaching us, that absolutely you're not allowed to cut the wool from kachim. What the Torah is teaching us is that if you went and cut the wool from kachim, which you should not have done, you're chayiv in reishis hageis. You're not chayiv in reishis hageis. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is, this is an important answer, the Torah Gdaisha doesn't speak about cases that I did in Aveira. That if you did an Aveira, now what? That's not what the Torah talks about. The Torah talks about people who do the right thing. That's one. Another answer I saw is that there wouldn't be a chiv. It's obvious that there wouldn't be a chiv of reishis hageis. It's a mitzvah above Aveira. I did an Aveira. I wasn't supposed to cut the wool. I cut the wool, now I should be chiv of reishis hageis. That's a mitzvah above Aveira. Another teretz that the Chazon Ish suggests, also a very nice teretz, is as follows. We learned in the Mishnah, the opinion of Beis Hillel, that you only chayiv in reishis hageis by five animals. So if you have your own five animals, and you're shearing the wool from those five animals, so as the Mishnah taught us, that wool combines to have a chayiv of reishis hageis. Here it's not your animal, it's the animal of kachim. And you're doing an aveira, you're cutting the wool. There's nothing to combine those five animals that it should be considered that you have the proper shear that you should have to give reishis hageis. We know that when we speak about kachim, there are two types of kachim. There's kachim mizbeach, and there's kachim by the kabayis. Kachim mizbeach means that if you were magdish an animal to use as a carbon to be put on the mizbeach. Kachim by the kabayis means when you donated something for the upkeep of the base of migdash. It's worth mentioning, why is it called by the kabayis? It's called by the kabayis because the word bedek means to examine. They used to look, they used to see, what does the Beis HaMikdash need, and those were the funds to use to service the Beis HaMikdash. Kachim Mizbeach, if we're talking about Kachim Mizbeach, Chachinami, you're right, I don't need a pasuk to exclude them from reishis hageis, because you're not allowed to cut that wool. However, says the Gemara, Chachav Ma'iskinen, what is our Mishnah referring to? The Kachim Be'edek Abayis, where there is no Isser to cut the wool. Ask the Gemara, from Rabbi Lazar, hasn't Rabbi Lazar taught us, Kachi, Bedekabayas, Asur, Giza, Vavoida, Bidrabbanon, that you're not allowed to cut them? Answers the Gemara, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Sakadat Chamina, we would think, Hoyle Midaraisa, B'nai Giza Ninu. Midaraisa, you're allowed to cut the wool of Kachi Mizbeach. Midrabbanon, you're not allowed to. So we would think, Heich de Gazus Lei, if somebody cut it, Leis of Lei, you should have to give it, Kamash Malan, that you don't. So Tosfos tries to understand exactly what is the Gemara's Havamina. The Gemara is saying that you should not have Midrabbanan cut that wool, but since Midaraisa you're allowed to cut it, Now that you cut it, you should have to give reshus hageis. But it's kachin. How could I give away something that's not mine? And Tosfos goes on to say, it's the top Tosfos of the Amid. Tosfos goes on to say, the Gemara doesn't mean that the Kohen should receive it and redeem it, because the Gemara is not speaking to the Kohen, the Gemara is speaking to the owner of the animal. But it's not my animal anymore. It's kachin. And Tosfos doesn't answer. The Tosfos Rosh says a very nice pshat in the Gemara. Tosfos Rosh explains the Gemara as follows. He says what the Gemara means to say is that what happened over here? I was Moel Behegdash. This behemoth belongs to Bede Kabayis, and I went and I cut the wool. The halacha is, we're going to Mitzashem Lur Masech the Mila, the halacha is if somebody is Moel Behegdash, the item that he was Moel becomes his. So now we can understand the Gemara very well. I was Moel Behegdash. I cut the wool of this animal that's Hegdash. That wool now becomes mine. So we would think that maybe I should have to give from that wool to the Kayan. And of course, I'll have to replace the value to Hegdash. Says the Gemara, how could that be? I should have to give the Kayan the wool and give the value to Hegdash. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? We're saying that we're going to give the wool to the Kayan and now assess the value of that wool and give it back to Hegdash. Ask the Gemara, Vabai Hamad Barocha. We're going to learn, Sechta Temura, Mitzashem, that the Torah says that when you evaluate an animal, when you assess a value, animal has to be standing. Here the animal, here the wool is cut off, so you can't have a standing animal. So Tosfos makes two important points here as well. The first point Tosfos makes, is that true, that always Hamad Barocha is required? What happens if I magdish a table? A table's not able to have Hamada Varocha. It says Hamada always required. So Tosfos answers, of course, not everything that you magdish and now you want to assess has a chiv of Hamada Varocha. But here we're talking about a living thing. And this wool came off a living thing. So if a living thing is chayiv and Hamada Varocha, so too is the halacha on the wool of a living thing. So ask Tosfos a different question. What's your problem that now that you cut the wool, you can't do Hamad V'Arocha? Maybe you did Hamad V'Arocha while the wool was still attached, when then Hamad V'Arocha is possible. So Tosfos says a very important word. Tosfos says Hamad V'Arocha can only be done when you're being paid, when you're actually looking to assess it, to redeem it. When the wool was still attached to the animal, there was no point of doing Hamad V'Arocha. You weren't giving it to anybody. It's only now when it's detached. Now is when you have to do the assessment, and now Hamad Varoch is not possible. So the Gemara makes its point. According to the opinion that there is no requirement of Hamad Varoch by Pedek Abayis, so the Mishnah is understandable. You cut the wool, and now the Mishnah is teaching us that you should give the wool to the Kohen, assess its value and give that amount to the Kabayis. However, ask the Gemara, El Lamanda Omer, Hayu, that there's an obligation of Hamad Barocha, even by Kotcha by the Kabayis, so this entire Teretz doesn't work. So we're back to where we started, Mayikalamema, why does the Torah have to teach us that there's no din of Rashis Hagez by Kotchim? There's obviously no din. Says the Gemara, Omer Amani Bapatish, Mishum Rab Yanai, Hoch Vemagdish Behemtel by the Kabayis. Indeed, the animal is Bedek Abayis, the animal, Chutz Megizor Seho. But the wool is not intended to be Hegdish, and that's why the Mishnah teaches us, if the animal is Hegdish, even though the wool is not, there's no Chiv of Reishis Hageis. Sakadatach Amina, because we would think, since the wool is not Hegdish, Ligzos Velesiv Lei, that wool should be cut and give the Kohen Reishis Hageis, Amakra, that's why the Torah teaches us, Tzoncha Veloi Tzon Shel Hegdish. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're interpreting the Mishnah, we could say the same thing by Kotcha Mizbeach, that you will magdish the animal for the Mizbeach, but not the wool, and the same, Vart. Says the Gemara, no. Kachashi. We can't come up with such a scenario by Kotcha Mizbeach, because if then you're cutting the wool, you weaken the animal, and you're not allowed to cause the animal to become weakened. So says the Gemara, if that's your concern, cut by the kabayis nami kachashi, by cutting off the wool. Says the Gemara, dama chutz megiz v'kichisha. When you will magdish it, you will magdish it that the wool shouldn't be hegdish, and that if it goes down, if it gets weakened by your cutting, it's also excluded from being hegdish. Says the Gemara, if that's the way you will magdish it, kachim is beich nami. Why can't you say the same by kachim is beich? Dama chutz megiz v'kichisha, that you will magdish the animal from the mizbeich, you said, besides the mount that I cut and it gets weakened. And says the Gemara, by kachim mizbeach, there is no such possibility. You can't be magdish something by kachim mizbeach and say, but if it gets weakened, that amount that it goes down in value should not be hegdish. The entire animal becomes hegdish. Says the Gemara, not Tamra. And where do we see such a concept by kachim mizbeach? That even if you weren't intending to be magdish something with kachim mizbeach, in any way becomes kachim mizbeach. We find our law by kachim mizbeach as follows. If somebody says the leg of this animal is an oila, kula oila, then the entire animal is an oila. You only said the leg, pashta kedusha bakula. Says the Gemara, that if you only magdish the leg, the entire animal does not become an oila. Hani mili, that's only in a case, the agdish davishen shama tluyba, only the leg. Avil higdish davish in a shnum tloiba, a heart or a vital organ. Everybody will agree, pashta kedusha bakula. So what do we see? That by kachim mizbeach, there's a concept of pashta kedusha bakula. By kachim pedagabais, there isn't. So therefore, we're up to it as follows. We have a way of understanding the Mishnah. It's kachim pedagabais, and you will magdish the wool, and even the value will go down if you cut the wool, and that wool now is not hegdish, because you will never magdish the wool. So you would think that you have to give reish sagaz from that wool. Teaches us the Mishnah, you do not. Rav Amar, the magdish giza atzma. You will magdish the wool itself. And as Tosis points out, Rav Mani bar Patish will agree with Rava explanation. Now, Rava comes up with a new way of explaining the Mishnah, and Rav Mani bar Patish could agree with Rava's explanation. Rava, however, Tosfos says, does not agree with Rav Mani bar Patish's explanation. So again, b'magdish giza atzma, saka da'ata chamina ligzos v'lifrig v'leisav lei, that you should now, and if, yes, you made it hegdish, but you should have to value it and give it to him. Saka da'ata chamina ligzig v'lifrig, cut it off, redeem it, and give it to the kohen, amakra, says the Torah, saying, "Geis tzayin chetit in loy." You have to give the wool to the kohen. Misha in mechus el gziza nesina. When is the mitzvah of reish sageis applicable? If you cut, and right after you cut that wool, you give it to the kohen. Yotzeh. Whereas here, another step would be required. What is the other step that's required? Shemechuser gziza pedia v'nesina. You have to have two steps. Ask the Gemara, if that's the reason why by kachim there is no chiv of giza, there's no chiv of rishis hageiz, because it's a new step. And whenever there's another step involved, the entire mitzvah is not applicable. So tzoyncha, that we began the piece of Gemara, that the Torah said tzoyncha v'loin tzoyna mekdoshim, what will Rava do with that pasuk? And this is Tosfos Raya, that Rav doesn't agree with Ramani Bapatish. Because Ramani Bapatish does have what to do with the pasuk. The fact that the Gemara asks, according to Rava, what does he do with the word tzoyncha, is a Raya that he doesn't agree with Ramani Bapatish's interpretation. Ela tzoyncha mayasa, l'chertanya, for different rule. But hemus ha-shutfim, if you have an animal that's owned by two partners, chai bereshus ha-geiz, Rav Eleza poiter, my tam der v'loi, what is the reason of Rav Eloi? Amakra, tzoyncha v'loi shel shutfus. The Torah says, tzoyncha, your sheep. V'loi shel shutfus, not something that's owned by somebody else. Rabbanan, what did Rabbanan who say that if two Jews own, or two or more Jews, own an animal together, the stum mechuyiv and reishis hageis, what will they do with that pasuk? Rabbanan, they say, l'muti shutfus oiv dekachavim. That if the Jew owns the animal together with a guy, there is no chiv reishis hageis. In other words, according to Rav Eloi, whether you own it together with a Jew or with a Goy, you potter. According to Rabbanan, it's only if you own it together with a Akum, not with a Jew. Ask the Gemara. But Rabbi Loi, Shutfis Akum Menale, how will he know this thing that Shutfis Akum is also potter from Reisha Sagaz? Nafkale Reisha Dekra. He learns it from the beginning of the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk begins, Reisha Degancha Tita, give me the Gemara. You have the pasuk there. No. Give me the words of the pasuk. Reishis the Gancha. The words of the pasuk are. He usually has the pasukim on the side. Reishis the Gancha. Tita Roy. The Reishis the Gancha. Tita Roy. Reishis Gave Tzaincha. So the pasuk starts with Reishis the Gancha. And then it goes on to Reishis Geis Tzaincha. So Rav Loi learns like this. Reishis Degancha, the beginning of the pasuk, which speaks about Truma, teaches us Reishis Degancha, V'lo Shut V'Saiv K'chavim. So I already know from the beginning of the pasuk that wherever an Akum is a partner, there is no Chiv in Matnas Kahuna. So then when the Torah says Reishis Geis Tzaincha, at the end of the pasuk, it's come to teach us that even when the Jew is a partner. Rabbanan don't agree with that. Rabbanan, Reishis Hivsaka Inyan. The pasuk starts off Reishis Degancha, and then the pasuk says Reishis Geis Tzaincha. So the fact that the Torah put the word Reishis in the middle tells us not to connect the second part of the pasuk of Reishis Geis to the first part of the pasuk of Reishis Degancha. Rabbi Loi, how will Rabbi Loi respond to that argument? Vav Had Arvei. If the Torah would have said Reishis Degancha and Reishis Geis Tzaincha, they would be viewed as two totally separate subjects. But the Torah doesn't view it that way. The Torah says, Reishis Degancha, V'Reishis Geis Tzaincha. That Vav connects them, and therefore, if the halacha by Reishis Degancha is that Shutfis Akum is potter, so too will be the halacha by Reishis Ageis, and therefore the Tzaincha is left over to teach us even when you have a Jewish partner. Rabbanan, ask the Gemara of Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, Lo Nichtav Vav, Reishis. In other words, according to Rabbanan, the Vav and the Reishis are what caused the issue. The Reishis separates, and the Vav connects. So don't have a Vav, and don't have a Reishis, and they'll be kept separate. The fact that the Torah does it that way is a raya that they should be kept separate. Although, Tosfos asks, let the Torah not say the word Tzaincha, and not the word Reishis, and I won't have any problems. So Taisha says, this entire discussion is according to Beloy. The Rabbanan hold you can never connect the first part to the second part. Even according to Beloy that you can, the Rabbanan argue here they shouldn't be connected. And Gemara, Rabbanan, so why, if the Torah meant to compare the two and connect the two, why did the Torah write the word Reishis, which seems to disconnect them? And it says Rabbanan, I did the high Kedusha Stomim, Vai Kedusha Saguf. This has only a Kedusha Stomim. And this has a Kedushas Haguf. Truma has a Kedushas Guf, as we keep on saying. A Jew, a Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma. If a Yisrael eats Truma, it's Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim. Reishis Hageis doesn't have a Kedushas Haguf, as I keep on saying. A Yisrael is allowed to use Reishis Haguf, Reishis Hageis. That's why the Torah separates them, even though halachically they're connected. Rabbi Loi, either the high Kedushas Tamim, because Reishis Hageis only has Kedushas Tamim, the high Kedushas Haguf, Pasuklu. That's why the Torah treats it as two separate subjects. But then the Torah with the Vav, connects them to say that even though categorically they're different, halachically they're the same. A third teretz. V'bayi seima shutfas oiv g'chavim v'trum rabbana chiyuvim v'chayiv. What are we learning? That according to Rabbanan, where will they, the Rabbanan, that Shutfus Akum by Trumas Chayiv. We're saying, the Rabbi Loi says, that just like Shutfus Akum by Trumas Potter, so too will be the Halacha by Reishis Hageis. And Tzaincha is here to teach us Shutfus Yisrael. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbanan, Shutfus Akum by Trumas Chayiv. The Tanya, because indeed we learned in the Braisa, the Yisrael of the Kacham Shlok Shutsada B'Shutfus, if a Jew and an Akum buy a field B'Shutfus, Tevel v'cholim merovim zeh b'zeh divrei Rabbi every fruit has a mixture of tevel and chulin. The Yisrael's fruit is tevel. The Akum's fruit is not. Shim Gamaliel Omer, she Yisrael chayiv v'shloiv k'chavim potter. At Kamler Pligi, says the Gemara, el masav yesh breira ava masav ein breira. What is the machlok between Rebbe and Shim Gamaliel? Says the Gemara as follows. We have this field that's own partnership between the Yisrael and the Akum. So according to Rebbe, we have every drop of food has a mixture of chulin, because there's no chiv tevel by an akum, and tevel. Rashi Gamliel says that when the Jew and the akum divide the produce, so Breira tells us that this is retroactively always chulin, and this was retroactively always chulin. Before we go further, Rashi discusses, according to Rebbe, that every piece of fruit has a mixture of tevel and chulin. So how do you take truma from here? How do you take truma from here? What, everything is a mixture. So Rashi gives two approaches. One, pretty simple approach, is indeed, you can't use, usually how is truma taken? You have the produce, and you take off whatever amount you have to take off as truma. Here, that's difficult to do. You'll take other fruit that's pure tevel. Let's say you have another field that you own by yourself, and you use that fruit, as truma for this field. The problem with that, besides the practical problem that you have to have it, is that there's an issue of menachiv al ptor. That is completely chayiv. And this is a mixture of chiv and ptor. Therefore, Rashi gives another way, is that, let's say, this field produced 20 fruits. And truma, let's say, is 10%. So you would have to take two fruits. You would have to take two fruits, even though you only mechuyev in one fruit. Because if there's 20 fruits that were produced, and I have a partner with Akum, I'm obligated in 10, and he gets 10. But since we don't know whose is who, we take two fruits for truma. So the Gemara says, Atkan lepligi, the machlok stay between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, as the mass sover, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Yesh Breira, and therefore we can retroactively know which was the Yisrael's portion, which was the Akum's portion. Or Masover, Ein Breira. Avos Chutvis Dakum. But what we do see here is the Rakel Chayavis. So now we have very Geschmack. The Rabbanon hold that by Truma, Chutvis Akum is Chayiv. So the Pasuk of Tzoncha by Reishis Hageis is teaching us that Chutvis Akum is Potter, and there is no Pasuk available according to Rabbanon, to teach us that Shutvus Yisrael is Potter. Vibar Seima, Tavayil Rabbaloi Mitzoyncha Nakav. We can learn from the word Tzoyncha both the halacha of when it's a Shutuf with Yisrael or when a Shutuf is an Akum. Vibar Seima, Tavayil Rabbaloi Mitzoyncha Nakav. Shutvus Doiv Tkachav in my Tama, Deloi Miyachtalei, because it's not yours alone. Yisrael Nami, so now by Yisrael it's the same halacha be lemiyachtalei. So now the Gemara is teaching us that according to Rebbe Loi, we're going to work with this, wherever the Torah says the word tzoncho or something like that, it means yours. And if it isn't completely yours, there is no chiv. V'rabbanan, oivik kachavim la barchiyuvahu, Yisrael barchiyuvahu. And therefore, if your partner were a guy, so it isn't only belonging to people that owe Reishis Hageis. That's why it's Potter. If your partner's with Yisrael, so you and your partner are Chayv and Reishis Hageis, and therefore the Chiv remains. So now the Gemara begins, working with Rebbe Loi. Because according to Rebbe Loi, he just taught us a Chiddush. That whatever the Torah says a word like Tzoncho, Degoncho, it means only if it's yours alone. So now the question is that going to be the case in every situation where the Torah uses such a word that it only if it's yours alone. So before I go into the Gemara further, I saw Rav Shach in the Sefer Aviezri makes a very important point. The entire Gemara that we're about to learn, continuing into tomorrow's shir, is speaking about situations where does the Torah mean that you're chayiv only if you own it by yourself or if you have a partner. But all the cases, says Rav Shach, are cases where there is no mitzvah that you're obligated to do it. In other words, the Torah says, regarding the Dalaminim, The Gemara is not going to ask what's going to be the halacha, would you have a partner? Because since every Jew is obligated to take the dalminim on Sukkos, it doesn't make a difference if you have a partner or not. You have a personal obligation to fulfill. The cases that we're going to speak about are cases of mitzvahs that you're not necessarily obligated to fulfill. The first case would be truma. You're not obligated to fulfill truma. If you have produce, you have to give truma. So Rava comments, which we would explain, the doch in the shotvasloi, and therefore we ought to say that if you own this produce together with a partner, even a Jewish partner, you ought not to be chayiv and truma, kosev rachmana truma seichem. The Torah, by writing the word truma seichem, is coming to teach us that even if you own the produce with a partner, you're still chayiv and truma. Ask the Gemara, ela degoncha lamali, why does the Torah use the word degoncha? Lemutei shutvas akum. That if you have a Jewish partner, you're chayiv. If you're akum, you're partner. Continues the Gemara, chala afagav deksiv rachis, chala, even though the Torah says the word rachis, vikla meima nalef rachis merachis hagais, we shall learn the din of chala from rachis hagais, mala halon the shutfas loy, according to Rabbi Loy, all partnerships are exempt from rachis hagais, afkan the shutfas loy, here too, that if you have a partner in the chala, Jewish or Akam, you ought not to be chayiv in chala, kos rachmona arisa seichem. That's what the Torah says, arisa seichem, that if you have a Jewish partner, you're still chayiv. Ask the Gemara, el otam deksiv arisa seichem, is it only because it says arisa seichem, halav hochi nelef reishis hageis, were I not to have this pasuk, I shall learn it from reishis hageis, adrabba, nelef metruma. So the Gemara's question is as follows. The Torah uses the word rachis by chala. So the Torah uses rachis actually in three cases. By chala, by rachis hageis, and by truma. By truma we're saying that even Rabbi Loy agrees that if you have a Jewish partner, you're chayiv. By rachis hageis, if you have a Jewish partner, you're potter. So the Gemara is saying, if I didn't have the word aris seichem, I should be chayiv by chala even anyway. Why? Because instead of comparing it to rachis hageis and saying that if you have a Jewish partner, you're potter, we should compare it to truma and say if you have a Jewish partner, you're chayiv. For as the Rishonim explain, we have a rule throughout Shas. Whenever you can be makish l'kula, that means compare chala to rachis hageis, or you can be makish l'chumra, compare chala to truma, we're always makish l'chumra. So says the Gemara, why do I need a pasuk of a risoy seichem? To teach us that you chayiv and chala, even if you have a Jewish partner, without that I would know you chayiv and chala, because I would compare chala to truma. Adrabba, neilach metruba, says Marachanam, you're correct. The reason chala is chayiv when you have a Jewish partner is because we learn it from truma, not from rachis hageis, because we're makash l'chumra. So ask the Gemara, l'risei seichem lamali, so what do I do with the pasuk arisei seichem? To teach us k'day arisei seichem. You're only chayiv in chala if you make a dough the size of the chamisha of the oimer in the midbar, which was chamisha lugin tzipirim. Rashi gives the whole cheshbon. Continues the Gemara. Peya, avgad ksiv. Even though the Torah uses the word sotcha, tidach in. So only if you own the field by yourself are you chayv and peya shut v'sloy. But if you own it in partnership, you potter kosev rachmana. To teach us that even if you own it, and many people own it, you're still chayiv and peya. Ela satcha lamali. What do I do with the word satcha? Lemutei shutfas ayvikachavim. To teach us that if all the partners are Jewish, indeed there's a chayiv and peya. If there's an ayvikachavim partner, you're potter. Continues the Gemara. Pachayra. Avgav deksiv kol b'chayra shivori b'bekorko b'tzayncha. The dach in the shutfas loy. Which seems to indicate that it's only a chiyuv b'chayra if you own the animal by yourself, kos rachmana, or b'chayra is b'karchiv etzoynchem, that even if you own the animal b'shutfis, you're chayiv in b'chayra. El b'karchiv etzoyncha lamali. What do I do with the word b'karchiv etzoyncha? L'mutei shutfis akum, that if there's a partner in akum, there is no chiyuv b'chayra. There's a shuva in the Shas of Shuvas Petzel Chachma. The Torah says, Le'sachmed Beis Reyecha. So he asks, maybe the Torah means only if the house is owned by a part, by one person. But if the house is owned by more than one person, it's not Beis Reyecha. And maybe you're not over Le'sachmed if you want that house. So he points out a very important point. This entire Gemara is only going according to the last teretz, according to Rabbi Loi. According to Rabbanan, and according to the two previous terutzim, there is no such shlimud. And of course, Le'sachmed applies even by a house that's owned by more than one Jew.